The discussion on the motion. Are you ready to vote? All of those who are in favor of the substitute motion will signify by saying aye. If there's any opposition by the same sign, the substitute is carried and the original motion is lost.
Thank you. Mr. President and friends, thank you very much. We're all just trying to do the best we can, surely. Recommendation number 21 will be presented by one of our fine Baptist laymen from the state of Florida, Brother Cecil Carroll. Brother Carroll.
Recommendation 21 is as follows. The Executive Committee should be assigned the responsibility for maintaining an official convention organization manual. It's the feeling of our committee that this is necessary to more clearly define the responsibilities of our various agencies and to avoid overlapping. It's been discussed with the Executive Committee and endorsed by them. Now, Mr. Chairman, I believe the proper motion would be that it be the sense of this convention that we approve this for complete action in the next session. Is that right? I so move.
I second the motion.
You've heard the motion that it's the sense of this body that we want to adopt Recommendation 21, but we can't, and that it be carried over until next year. The motion is made, and there's a second. Is there any discussion? Are you ready to vote? If you favor the motion, you will signify it by saying aye.
Aye.
If there's opposition by the same sign, it is done.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Brother Brandt.
The next recommendation, number 22, is not in the book of reports, but is contained in the convention bulletin, which was printed on yesterday, and will be presented to us now by Brother Archie Brown of Illinois.
Mr. President and messengers to the convention, this recommendation concurs with the convention's previous intentions. It has grown out of a conference between the Sunday School Board and the Radio and Television Commission. They have agreed to it, and therefore the Survey Committee recommends that the Radio and Television Commission be designated to and recognized as the sole producers and distributors for films for television use. Brother President, I move the adoption of this recommendation.
I second the motion.
Is there any discussion on recommendation number 22? The motion is to adopt. We have no bylaw problem. You can adopt it or reject it as you see fit. Is there any discussion or any questions? Are you ready to vote? If you favor the adoption of recommendation number 22 as carried in the convention bulletin of Thursday, you will signify it by saying aye.
Aye.
If there's opposition by the same sign, it is so ordered.
Don't you want to
have one other? I have one other recommendation, yes. Mr. President and friends, one of our agencies, the Relief and Annuity Board, requested of our committee that we take under study the advisability of changing the name of the agency to bring it into line with its essential function at the present time. In the past, a part of the essential function of the Relief and Annuity Board has been the relief aspect of its operation. That is a diminishing function, and the board asked us if we would consider the possibility of recommending that the word relief be dropped from the name and that it simply become the annuity board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Our committee has studied this matter and brings to you this recommendation, which would be recommendation 23, to wit, that the word relief be dropped from the name of the Relief and Annuity Board, and that it become simply the Annuity Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And Mr. President, I move the adoption of this recommendation.
You've heard the recommendation and the motion. Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, I call your attention to the fact that we have the same problem there. We can say that this is the sense of this body, but actually they'll have to wait until next year because the names of the agencies are contained in the bylaws, and it would require a bylaw change, and therefore the official action would have to wait until next year.
Will you rephrase your motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, I move that this recommendation be passed and construed as being the sense of this body, and that its final ratification shall wait upon the 1960 convention.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second? Motion is before you now for discussion or questions. Is there any discussion or any question? Are you ready to vote? If you favor the motion of Dr. Branch to the extent that recommendation number 23 be adopted as the feeling of this body, but final action be postponed until next year, you will signify it by saying aye. If there's opposition by the same sign, it is done.
Mr. Chairman and friends, at this time I would like to move and do move that this entire report, as it has been approved by this convention, shall be adopted.
You've heard the motion that the entire report of the Committee to Study Southern Baptist Life as adopted by the convention, and of course that carries with it the idea of the amendments and changes that the convention has made. Is there a second to the motion? Is there any discussion? Any questions? All minds are clear, you're ready to vote. All who favor the adoption of the motion will signify it by saying aye. Any opposition, the same sign. It is done. Dr. Brandt.
Thank you, Dr. Ellis. I move at this time that the Committee to Study the Southern Baptist Program be dismissed and that all matters, all unfinished matters, and all matters of referral be referred to the Executive Committee for appropriate action, and that the Executive Committee be instructed to proceed in the appropriate way to implement the actions of this convention in adopting this report.
You've heard the motion of the chairman of this committee that the committee be dismissed and all matters of referral be turned over to the Executive Committee. Is there a second to the motion?
In seconding the motion a second time, I should like to express my own appreciation, and I'm sure the appreciation of every agency and every member of the Southern Baptist Convention, for the very wonderful work that this committee has done through these long, two arduous, weary, trying days. It is a tribute to their tenacity, it is a tribute to their courtesy and their Christian behavior that these things have gone along so well. And I should like to ask, please, that we have a standing vote of appreciation for the splendid work of this very wonderful committee.
If you favor the motion of Dr. Branch and the second by, by Dr. Story, you'll stand. You've already voted. Thank you very kindly. I think you want to get rid of this committee, don't you? Let me say to you that they have worked hard and long, and I'm sure that each of us feels within our hearts gratitude and appreciation for them, and I'm grateful for this word of expression and this demonstration of expression of appreciation on your part. Brother Burton? Are there any matters of announcement? Fine. We now come to the order of the Commission on the American Baptist Theological Seminary. I recognize Brother L.S. Sedberry of Tennessee.
Chairman, the report of the Southern Baptist Commission on the American Baptist Theological Seminary is found on page 270 of the Book of Reports. There are no recommendations in this report, but I want to call your attention especially to the work of the Commission on page 271. According to the plan that was set up in the beginning, in 1913, when representatives of the National Baptist Convention came to the leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention and asked for help in establishing a school for the teaching and training of their ministers and missionaries, they agreed on this fundamental principle: that the seminary should always be a National Baptist institution under the direction and control of the National Baptist Convention, which is guaranteed by the fact that 2/3 of the trustees are National Baptists and 1/3 Southern Baptists. Southern Baptists were to build the physical plant, purchase the land and build the buildings and help maintain and insure them. And this was assured by the fact that 2/3 of the holding board are Southern Baptists and 1/3 National Baptists. Under this agreement, the two conventions have worked hand in hand for these many years. Now today, the contributions of Southern Baptists have enabled us to say that we have their total assets in this institution contributed by Southern Baptists in the amount of $834,679.15, almost $1 million contributed by Southern Baptists. In addition to their contribution, National Baptists have made their contribution in the way of furnishing the buildings as they were built. So with what they have contributed, we could say that we have at least a $1 million institution of which we are very proud. So, Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of this report. No recommendation.
You third the motion that this report be adopted. There are no recommendations contained in it. There is a second. Are there questions or is there any discussion? Hearing none, if you favor the adoption of this report as contained in your book of reports, you will signify it by saying aye. If there's opposition, by the same sign, it is so ordered.
I want to present some friends that are on the platform with us this morning because of their great kindness and favor in entertaining a mass meeting last night. Dr. and Mrs. Ballou of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church of Louisville are present. Dr. Ballou is the chairman of publicity for the National Baptist Convention. I want them to stand. Thank you so much. We had a wonderful meeting at that church last night. An inspirational address by Dr. Maston of Southwestern Seminary, and a nice contribution for the work of the seminary. Also, I'd like to present Miss Clayton, who is Young People's Director for the state of Kentucky. Miss Clayton, would you stand? Our loyal friend, Mr. Grinstead, who is Secretary of Baptist Student Union Work. Would you stand? We'll present a program as briefly as we can. I want, first of all, if he is present, I want Professor Joe Conley to come to the microphone and tell you something about the number of extension units that he has been able to promote and the number enrolled in extension units. The American Seminary is recognized all through the nation as a credible institution among National Baptists, and they are asking that their extension units be sponsored by the American Baptist Theological Seminary at Nashville, Tennessee. Professor Joe Conley.
Is he here?
I believe he is not here, so we'll proceed with the program. He may come in later. I want to present now one who has had a great deal to do in the promotion of the work at the seminary, one who was sent to us from the National Baptist Convention, an experienced promoter in the financial field, and one who has helped a great deal in promoting the work of the seminary. Miss Primrose Funches. I want to present Miss Funches at this time.
To the honored president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Mr. Hayes, Dr. Porter Ruth, Dr. Sedberry, officers, delegates, and friends. I am deeply grateful for the opportunity to bring you greetings from the National Baptist Convention, Incorporated, and its distinguished president, Dr. J.H. Jackson, who is now in Europe on a goodwill tour. Dr. Jackson would have me say to you this morning that we are deeply grateful for the contribution Southern Baptists have made to the work of the American Baptist Theological Seminary. I would like to pay a special tribute to two of your outstanding leaders, if you please. A correspondent of Washington, Louis Laybrook, says, and I quote, "Evangelist Billy Graham described Mr. Brooks Hayes as a rare combination of a man possessing the humor of Mark Twain, the common sense of Benjamin Franklin, the integrity of Abraham Lincoln." He stated that he has more congressional friends and admirers in both political parties than any figure in public life. End of quote. I should like to add, and in all races, in all parts of the world, people love, honor, and appreciate Brooks Hayes. His visit to the National Baptist Convention in Chicago was of great value and greatly appreciated by the membership of more than 6 million Baptists. He's a Christian statesman with a great cooperative spirit. The second man is Dr. L.S. Sedberry, Secretary to the Commission on the Southern Baptist Convention for the American Baptist Theological Seminary, of whom I have had the privilege of working with the past 6 years. I found him to be an honest Christian gentleman dedicated to the task of helping to train our ministry to a larger service. We pray God's continuous blessings upon him and his work at the seminary. The National Baptist Convention has had full cooperation from him, and the National Baptist Convention love and respect L.S. Sedberry. I came to the seminary 6 years ago by the request of the National Baptist Convention to raise $50,000. We were successful in raising $53,000 for the seminary through the National Baptist Convention. By the request of the National Baptist Convention, we were asked to set up a monthly regular system of giving so that we would cooperate in a fuller way with the mutual task of training our workers. We appreciate deeply what has been done by you to train our Christian workers. We have the largest seminary among our people. We are grateful for the support being given by the women. There's a great need for trained leaders in our convention. Our Religious Vocational Institute last year was a great success. We were graced with the presence of leaders from Southern Baptist Convention. We enrolled a large number of young people from all states and two foreign countries. We look forward to a larger enrollment this year. Mrs. Roy Babb, the president of the Women's Missionary Union of Tennessee. These dear women contribute $2,500 a year for student aid. May God bless them and their work. We look forward with hope for a brighter day and a larger enrollment at ABT. Daniel had hope when he was in the lion's den. The Hebrew children had hope in the fiery furnace. Queen Esther had hope when she appeared before the king for her people. We need your help, and I hope soon the women of this convention will set up a rotating scholarship of $10,000 at least, that more we may better train our young women and ministers for Christian service at home and abroad. Christ is the hope of the world. We want to do our part in helping to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world.
I'm so glad now at this time to present the president of the American Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. M.P. Turner. This is the second opportunity we've had to present him to the Southern Baptist Convention, last year at Houston, and this year at Louisville. We take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Turner.
Mr. President, our distinguished Baptists on the platform and Christian friends, I wish to express my personal appreciation to you for the wonderful support that has come to our work through the years and for the interest which you continue to show in the training of leaders for our National Baptist Convention churches. Last year, we brought a tape recording of the voices of some of our students in song. And it was a very popular thing in the exhibition room in Houston. This year, because we are closer to the city of Nashville, we are privileged to bring these same folk whose voices you heard on tape last year. And they will have an opportunity to present a few numbers to you, we are hoping, later. I believe it was Reed in one of his books, They Knew Jesus, in writing of Lazarus as the one whom Jesus had raised from the dead, spoke of Lazarus as having been engaged in conversation after his return from the grave. There were numerous things that Lazarus said and recalled during his lifetime prior to his death and having been raised by Jesus. He remembered, for example, that men had frequently said that you could not take your material possessions with you into the next world. You cannot take your money, you cannot take your lands, you cannot take your means of transportation, you cannot take any of the material things which are yours in this life into the life to come. But Lazarus, upon his return, was telling folk that there were some things in this life that you can take with you. Those things in this life which you do, which broaden and enrichen the life of your soul, may be taken with you. And I feel, Southern Baptists, that even though there are numerous things that you shall not be able to take with you into the life to come. You shall not be able to take that wonderful building which is being completed in Nashville, nor the other properties which you already have there, nor those properties which you have here in Louisville, nor those properties which you have in Atlanta and in other places around this country and the world. They may not be taken with you, but that which you are doing in the lives of men and women around the world, and particularly in the lives of National Baptists at American Baptist Theological Seminary, can be taken with you. That which goes to enrich their lives has also gone to broaden yours, and that will make you a greater and more effective soul even in the life to come. And I am grateful to you for the privilege of having had a part in that activity which results in those goods which you can take with you into the kingdom.
Thank you, Dr. Turner. We are going to present now the chorus, or at least an octet from the chorus. Professor Floyd Thompson is the director. They'll come immediately and sing to you. They're on the program for this special number. We thank Dr. Herron for this favor.
We come now to the consideration of the report of Woman's Missionary Union, and I'm pleased and honored to present to you Mrs. R.L. Mathis of Texas.
I move the adoption of the printed report of Woman's Missionary Union as you find it in your book of reports, and that the time be given for discussion.
You've heard the motion that the Woman's Missionary Union report be adopted as found in the book of reports. Is there a second to it? The motion is made and seconded. Is there any discussion or any questions? If you favor the adoption of the motion, you will signify it by saying aye. If there's opposition, by the same sign, it is done. Mrs. Mathis.
Woman's Missionary Union has just concluded its 71st annual meeting here in Louisville, Kentucky, in this auditorium. And we should like to express our deep appreciation to the women of Louisville who so ably carried out every plan and every part of our program. I should like to mention one thing in particular which you have shared in during these days since you have been here. As you have approached down the long avenue in front of Freedom Hall, you have seen those beautiful Christian banners. They were made by the women of Louisville who served on the hostess committee. And we're so grateful to them for all that they have done under the leadership of the chairman, Mrs. Carl Liebert. Two things were reported that were very significant during our sessions. One, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, the greatest offering for missions ever given by this denomination and perhaps by any denomination, amounting to almost $6,800,000, which was our goal. We missed it by about $37,000. We would like to express appreciation to you and to the churches that you represent for all of the help that was given in achieving this mighty offering for missions. We have just concluded in March the Annie Armstrong offering, and we have every reason to believe from the reports that have come from our state that we will go well beyond the goal of $2 million, and thank you for that. And now I should like to present our Executive Secretary, Miss Alma Hunt of Birmingham, Alabama. Miss Hunt.
Mr. Chairman, Mrs. Mathis has made mention of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which of course you know relates to foreign missions. She made mention and expressed our appreciation to you for what you have done in the churches in behalf of the Week of Prayer for Home Missions and the support of the Annie Armstrong offering. During our meeting this year, we gave emphasis to another phase of missions dear to our hearts and within the reach of all of us, our emphasis on community missions. During this year, we have been working toward bringing out a book on community missions which would embrace the program of Woman's Missionary Union and place before our people the heart of that program, which is soul winning. And in our annual meeting, we presented this book, which will be released from the press on July 1st, which we would like to share with you this morning, for it brings to you in few words the program that is ours in the churches for carrying on missionary work in the communities, another phase of mission work, which you as pastors and you as church members can help us to strengthen. Christian Witnessing is the first in a series of six books on aims for advancement that Woman's Missionary Union plans to have published during the Baptist Third Jubilee Advance. This book becomes a part of Woman's Missionary Union's cooperative participation in the Jubilee Advance, a major objective of which is quickening within all members a sense of responsibility for zealously carrying out the Great Commission. Since 1959 was designated by Southern Baptists as the year for emphasis on evangelism, Woman's Missionary Union chose soul winning as its only community missions emphasis for the year. Dr. Floyd Barnard was asked to write the book, Christian Witnessing, not only for study in this special evangelism emphasis year, but also for a permanent study book. Surely the study of this book will point us anew to our privilege and responsibility in telling others of the Savior. We would like to share with you the pages of this book briefly. In chapter 1, Christian witnessing is pointed out to us as sharing God's message of salvation with others. It is seeking to introduce Christ to a friend, an acquaintance, or a stranger who does not know him. It is helping an individual to know the joy of salvation and the peace that passeth understanding. The author reminds us to take note of the first century Christians. They considered it the normal thing to tell others the story of salvation. The accounts of their sharing the gospel with others throughout the land are amazing. Many thousands were won to Christ. These early Christians, impelled by a sense of urgency and the constraining love of God, went everywhere preaching the word with enthusiasm and power. Jesus expects us to witness for him. His loving request, yea, his urgent command, rings out insistently throughout the Bible. Again and again he calls, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." On to the end of his ministry, even to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus persisted, "Ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Only about 4% of the members of our churches do any personal soul winning. This fact should grieve our hearts, especially if we are included in the 96% who never witness for our Lord and Master. Jesus showed his great love for us and for all people everywhere by giving himself to die. And this love should be the impelling motive for our Christian witnessing. Do we have an unsaved one on our hearts? One for whom we are praying and whom we are seeking to win? Have we made any attempt to witness to that person? In chapter 2, the author points out our opportunities in community awareness. For community awareness helps women have an understanding of world awareness. All of us interpret on the basis of experience. Whatever we hear or read or see filters through personal experiences which color our reactions and determine our understanding. Laborers together with God, our watchword, is best expressed as each Christian sees the need, feels his Christian responsibility for those around him, and witnesses in his own community as the missionary does on his chosen field. Many of us are too much like the woman attending a play who wept over the imaginary difficulties of a poverty-stricken family in a slum area of a large city. There, in a place of easy imagination, she entered into the problems of these people, while all the time, as she sat in her cushioned ease, her own community had similar groups whom she had not even noticed. Missions is not a faraway idea. It begins at home. And what we do here helps broaden our idea of world missions. Community awareness is a goal immediately obtainable for all. And now in chapter 3, Christian witnessing in the home, there is a particular message for women which will be appreciated by men. The author writes, "There is more opportunity for effective Christian witnessing in the home than anywhere else in the world. The importance of a woman's witness in and through her home is determined largely by her vision of her task. A woman should see her place of influence and learn God's dream for herself and her family. Happy is the home with a wife and mother who has linked herself to God and who understands her role in the home. This woman brings the best in Christian witnessing to her family and beyond. Four walls cannot contain the influence of such a one. She has a place from which endless blessings flow. She has caught the vision of her task." Susanna Wesley was such a woman. With a feeling of tender appreciation, one can visit the little green cemetery in London where lies the grave of this woman whose home, amid a period of great spiritual darkness, was so refreshingly Christian. The gravestone, austere in its simplicity, is but a reminder of the most lasting memorial of her life as a great Christian mother and home builder. Daughter of a preacher, wife of a preacher, and mother of preachers in an age when evangelical preaching brought bitter persecution. She kept the fires of faith burning in her home and in the hearts of her 19 children, to each of whom she gave 1 hour's religious instruction each week. Chiseled upon this modest gravestone, half hidden by sprays of green English ivy, is the beautiful inscription, Susanna Wesley, mother of Charles and John Wesley and 17 other children. In sure and certain hope to rise and claim her mansion in the skies, a Christian here, her cross laid down, that cross exchanging for a crown. And in chapter 4, witnessing through the church. Women's Missionary Union is a part of a cooperative witness as we share in the church's total ministry of witnessing. Pastors, the members of Women's Missionary Union would like the names of unsaved people to visit. The Women's Missionary Society seeks to enlist all its members in soul-winning activities by making available at all times an up-to-date list of unsaved people in the community and encouraging women to visit them. Revivals offer unusual opportunities for Christian witnessing, and these evangelistic meetings cannot succeed without pre-revival visitation. Women's Missionary Union members always assist in carrying out the pre-revival visitation plans. Pastors, the members of your Community Missions Committee offer themselves to be used in pre-revival visitation or in any other planned program of visitation, and they will seek to enlist other WMU members to help. If soul-winning visitation becomes perennial instead of periodic, people will be saved in every church service, and the soul-winning program of Women's Missionary Union is perennial. Throughout our church communities, there are unsaved and unchurched people waiting for our witness. The Jews in our communities are lost without Christ. The blind and deaf wait for an indication of interest and concern. The lonely soul waits to be handed a portion of God's word from which the message of hope in eternal life is found. The book has presented witnessing in the home, witnessing through the church, and in chapter 5 presents witnessing throughout the community. This title states in a few words the responsibility we have for leading all our members to witness throughout the community. The author begins, out from the home, through the church, and on to the outer boundary of our community, personal testimony of Christ's salvation must go. A Christian nation is built by Christian people who recognize their responsibility as citizens. Those who care for the souls of men must necessarily care about social conditions in which men live. Few communities escape the blighting effects of alcohol. In our country, we see mounting alcoholism and arrests for drunkenness. What can Christian women do today about alcohol education? First of all, we begin our Christian witnessing by taking the firm personal stand for total abstinence. We will teach our children the dangers of drinking alcoholic beverages. We will remember that the most powerful influence in the world is the force of example. A phase of community missions which has timely meaning for us just now is witnessing through use of the ballot. Politics is neither a bad word nor a bad work. It is the science and art of government. No one can stay out of politics by merely refusing to vote. Failure to vote affects the issues at stake just as much as casting a vote, though it is always a negative effect. There are political problems in our generation that must be faced and dealt with in our communities, and we are reminded that possession of the ballot is a sacred trust and must intelligently be used as such. Ministering throughout the community leads to an often neglected group, the forgotten people. Jesus actually identified himself with them when he said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." We turn now to the concluding chapter, which tells us not the what nor the where of Christian witnessing, but the when. Witnessing every day. Countless people through the years have found Christ as Savior through devoted Christian witnesses. Few have become Christians without the loving testimony of someone who cared enough to search them out and point the way to God, even as Andrew searched out his own brother, Simon Peter, and led him to faith in Christ. This same mission is ours today. In God's providence, individuals are charged with the responsibility of giving the gospel message to the unsaved. Every person who bears the name Christian gives some kind of testimony. Witnessing is a personal responsibility. Witnessing is an arduous task. It is not easy to overcome the attitude of unconcern for others which characterizes most of us. When we have finished studying this book on Christian witnessing and placed it in our bookshelves, what will we do concerning our responsibility to God and to the unsaved about us? Will we share our joy in Christ? Will we go to an unsaved neighbor and say, "I'd like to tell you what Jesus has done for me and what he can do for you"? Then will Christ's command be fulfilled, "Ye shall be my witnesses"? With this book and with its community missions program, Woman's Missionary Union will continue its community missions ministry, not only through 1959, but with equal dedication in the years to come.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Mathis and Ms. Hunt, for your presentation. We come now to the Committee on the Nominational Calendar, and I recognize Ms. Alma Hunt of Alabama, who is the chairman of that committee, and while she's coming, there's been a request for Dr. Ramsey Pollard to come to the platform, please.
Mr. Chairman. The report of the Committee on Denominational Calendar is found on pages 320 and 321 in the Book of Reports. The Committee's report carries two recommendations. One, that the Sunday School Convention, Fort Worth, Texas, March 29, 31, be added to the 1960 calendar. Two, that the calendar for 1961 be adopted as follows, and I shall not read that, which is in the hands of the messengers. Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the report of the Committee on Denominational Calendar, which carries with it these two recommendations.
Thank you very much. You've heard this motion. Will you adopt these is there a second to the motion? Will you adopt these two recommendations of the Committee on Denominational Calendar? Is there any discussion on it? Hearing none, I'll put the question. If you favor the adoption of the report with its recommendations, you will signify it by saying aye. If there's opposition, by the same sign, it is so ordered. Brother Heron, is he here? We come now to the report of the Committee on Resolutions. Is the chairman of the Resolutions Committee ready to report? Just a moment while these fellas get together back here.
Our chairman is not here yet.
No. Will someone please try to find the chairman of the Committee on Resolutions?
May we request that we, as in view of our unusual experience of getting ahead here, thanks to these good ladies, that everyone else on the program may be called earlier.
I am going back home. I hope to go back home in good graces with the WMU, but it's the first time I've ever known a WMU presentation to run less than the allotted time. And I thank God for it. I recognize Morris Grant of North Carolina for the Committee on Resolution.
Mr. President, I'm reporting for our chairman, Brother James Harris, who was called back to Fort Worth, Texas. As secretary of the committee, I was asked to present these resolutions. Resolution number one, the Southern Baptist Convention in its 102nd session wishes to express appreciation to the citizens of Louisville and the Long Run Association for their gracious hospitality. We wish to express our appreciation to the local committees for many services and accommodations, to the press, radio, and television facilities for fair and effective publicity. The opening of Christian homes for rooming accommodations multiplied the services and merits our grateful thanks. We commend the hotels, motels, public transportation, and taxicab personnel for their courteous accommodations. We call grateful attention to the work of the policemen in traffic supervision and the wide interest in the convention by local and state citizens. We sincerely thank the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary for permitting us to share the occasion of their centennial and their commencement exercises. And we assure the administration, the faculty, and the student body of our prayerful interest in our oldest seminary. Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of this resolution.
We've heard the motion, and there is a second. Is there any discussion of this first resolution? Any questions? Are you ready to vote? If you favor the adoption of this resolution, you will signify it by saying aye. If there are any contrary minds, by the same sign, it is adopted.
Resolution number two pertains to the American Bible Society. Whereas this convention recognizes first that widespread distribution of the printed Word of God is a basic need in mission work around the world, and second, that missionary advance calls for even greater distribution of Bibles, New Testaments, Gospels, and other individual books of the Bible, and whereas we recognize that the American Bible Society renders an essential worldwide missionary service through translating and publishing the scriptures without note or comment, and through distributing them without profit and usually below cost, and whereas we recognize that the American Bible Society is rendering an additional special service through providing without charge to the chaplains scriptures for distribution to the men and women of the armed forces and to patients in veterans' hospitals. Therefore, be it resolved that we fraternally urge all our churches and our people to make worthy contributions to the work of the American Bible Society in order to provide the scriptures needed for the missionary advance to which we are committed. Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of this resolution.
You've heard the resolution, the motion, and a second. Is there any discussion or are there any questions? Hearing none, if you favor the adoption of this resolution, you will signify it by saying aye. If there's opposition, by the same sign, it is done.
Resolution number three. Whereas the Postmaster General of the United States has called our attention to a vast mail order business in obscene and pornographic materials, and whereas these purveyors of filth are aiming their attention chiefly at the nation's youth, teenage boys and girls, high school and college young people, and young people in the armed forces, and whereas they are violating the homes of our nation in defiance of the laws of the federal government against obscenity, and whereas the Postmaster General has called on all citizens to join in this battle to stop the flow of filth to our children and to our homes and communities, therefore be it resolved by the Southern Baptist Convention and annual session assembled in the city of Louisville, first, that we commend Postmaster General Arthur Summerfield for this courageous stand. Second, that we pledge the support of our convention through publications and otherwise, to stop this use of males by distributors of obscenity and pornography. And third, that we call on parents to save all such materials received through the mail, including envelopes and all enclosures, and that they turn over such materials with their protests to local postmasters. And fourth, that we urge the ministers and members of the churches affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention to study the contents of their newsstands to become informed as to any publications that violate the laws against obscenity, and to unite with all who uphold decency in our communities through campaigns to rid our newsstands and the mails of the filth and smut of obscene publications. Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of this resolution.
You've heard the resolution and the motion with a second. Is there any discussion? I recognize Brother O.K. Armstrong of Missouri.
Brother President and fellow messengers, I told Dr. A.C. Miller, the head of the work of our Christian Life Commission, sitting on the platform here and most vitally interested in this resolution, that I would be glad, because of my association with him and with the author of this resolution, Mr. Burton, who presented it yesterday, to say a word of commendation for this action that I feel sure will be approved by the fellow messengers of this convention. I'm sure that I express the sentiment of my fellow messengers when I commend the Postmaster General of the United States for calling on the church people of this nation to help fight this rising tide of indecent literature. I commend Mr. Burton, the editor of Home Life, for suggesting this resolution. And certainly we should all commend Dr. Miller and Dr. Moncrief, the chairman of our commission, for responding to the call of the Postmaster General more than 2 years ago, when he asked us to meet in Washington in order to plan how the church people of our communities, Baptists and others, could unite in a common fight against this rising tide of indecency. And all honor to Dr. Miller and the Christian Life Commission for establishing in Glorieta the first conference by any major denomination to discuss this great social evil in the summer of 1958. My fellow messengers, do you know that obscene literature is now big business? The Postmaster General told a group of us last Monday in Washington in a meeting with the Post Office and Civil Service Committee of Congress that it now is a $500 million business in the newsstands and through the mails of this country. Do you know what is being sold on the school grounds, perhaps of your community? Have you seen the pornographic postcards that are peddled to the boys and the girls for 25 cents, telling them that they can sell them to others of their comrades for 50 cents and make a profit? Do you know what is sold on the newsstands of your community? The other day in one of the leading hotels of this wonderful host city, I ran into the editor of our state Baptist paper in Missouri, Dr. H.H. McGinty. I said to Brother McGinty, let's walk over to the newsstand here in this hotel and see what they're selling. Well, we saw. I hold in my hands here samples of five magazines picked up yesterday and this morning on the newsstands in Louisville. We're not throwing off on our fine host city, but I'm saying to you that the contents of these magazines are so utterly obscene that personally I wouldn't be caught at a dogfight with one of them in my pocket. I'm going to just hold this up briefly and then cover it again, and say to you, if you want to find out the magazines that are truly obscene in your community, you go to Dr. Miller's exhibit and you'll find this way back in the back. And you can get a list of the magazines
that the Christian Life Commission has made a study of with a view to determining if they are so obscene that they violate the laws as these do, the laws of Kentucky and the United States of America. Now we have only a closing moment for this. But my friends, let me say that the long study made by the Christian Life Commission and the Churchman's Commission for Decent Literature, of which this Baptist layman is legislative chairman, has made long, intensive studies of our newsstands, and we find that uniformly, as you will find in your community, that these nefarious magazines play up adultery as a proper thing for young people. This magazine is dedicated to the University of Southern California. This one, my friends, one of the most pornographic in the United States, I bought this morning on a newsstand in Louisville, is dedicated to all of the college youth of America. This magazine is so obscene that every page in it violates the laws of Kentucky and the United States. It glorifies prostitution and liquor. It tells how a young man can get a young woman so drunk that he can seduce her. And I could go on and on with hundreds of illustrations. My fellow messengers, it's time we not only supported this resolution with our words, but with our actions. In this final moment, let me challenge you mothers to go back home and get together the leaders of the Parent Teachers Association. Bring your ministers into it, you godly leaders of our churches. And then, not only form decent literature councils to clean up the newsstands, but write your congressman. And Brooks Hayes, our own distinguished president, took the lead in this while...